Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, when you ask the chairman of the board to come here or you ask the county manager to come here, who would have known we brought the whole county management staff? We've got David Hudspeth, who is the York County manager. His able-bodied lieutenants, Mike Moore and Kevin Madden, they're all here today with us. And this ought to be a very interesting program. Do you have to, these guys always part of your world like this?
They don't. Yes, it seems like I can't go anywhere without them.
They don't trust you, or what is it?
They like to think that they're necessary to me be able to complete my duties.
So. We got to get him back to the home at one.
I told you it would take 30 seconds for him to want to say something, right? David, thanks for being here. For those who don't know, David Hudspeth has been our county manager now for not quite a year, but you were the interim 6 months before that.
Yeah, so all in total a year and a half or so.
And you're not a newcomer to York County. I mean, you've been involved in local government here for a long time.
Yeah, it's a little concerning to think about just how long it's been. But, yes, I've started with the city of Rock Hill back in the 80s and have worked for Rock Hill, Fort Mill, and now the county. So,
did you ever imagine in the 1980s that you would see the level of activity that we're seeing throughout your county that we're now seeing?
Not at all. And even if you said that just back a few years ago, I mean, I'm continued to be surprised by just the advancements that we make every year.
Well, with those advancements, of course, come all the issues associated with massive growth. And I think we're doing about as best we can with the roadways. We have a very successful Pennies for Progress program that's been around since 1996, right? So it's almost 25 years. We can't build them fast enough with all the traffic, but it's good. But the other side of that is, how do we effectively achieve a balance between rooftops and, commercial, industrial progress?
Well, certainly the residential is coming and has been coming for decades. And I think it's just a function of how attractive Rock Hill and York County and Fort Mill and all of our municipalities are. I mean, you can have, I told Mike when he moved here, I said, you pretty much have your choice of however you want to live. I mean, if you want an urban environment, we have that, certainly new housing and all that in Fort Mill and Rock Hill. If you want to be somewhere that's more rural, you can certainly do that. And if you want to be on the lake, you can do that. So we have all the options available from a developer standpoint. So I don't think there's any issue with that continuing to flourish. We've been very active in economic development projects. We have the I-77 corridor here and our access to the Charlotte Airport. So it's very easy to recruit businesses and industry here. We are trying to focus on recruiting the quality types of industry that we want. So that's our challenge here. And then with that, all the commercial follows, as support to that. So we've been very fortunate that all of that goes hand in hand and has been flourishing.
But as you say, attracting businesses, they want a good quality of life, which I think we have. Things like the new Riverbend Park coming online and the other parks that the county have done are all part and parcel of that. But they want a location. They want places to put their businesses. And it's hard to compete with residential developers who are gobbling up all the available land, particularly the land along I-77. And then you've got the old water and sewer issues. How far out can we go that'll be attractive and we can supply the services? I mean, I would think it was a constant challenge.
It is, and you have to weigh all those factors when you're evaluating what types of development we want to pursue, that we want to encourage, and what our land use plan is and our zoning districts allow. So it's a constant evaluation of that, and that integrated with our economic development department. So there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle.
All right, well, we could talk for hours on that. Let me switch gears with you. We have had a very interesting 2020 nationwide, worldwide, with this thing called the COVID virus. How's the county fared in all of that?
I think we've done a good job of maintaining our services to our citizens and and while keeping our workforce safe. I mean, we've had incidents of COVID just like everybody's had. But it's now that we're 8 months in, 10 months into this, it's, you know, we're all learning as we go. And I think even going back to March and April, when it became apparent this was going to be as serious as it is, we closed some offices and some services, but we still tried to provide those services as best we could. And now we're seeing here in December that the levels surpassed those at the time, but we are reacting differently to that. So most of our employees are back working in the office now. We do have some people working remotely, but most of our people are back. We are having meetings, being careful about doing that. But I think we've all tried to adjust to the information that we get on how to social distance and wearing masks and all those things that allow us to be productive in this environment, as opposed to, say, March or April when we were just dealing with it and a lot of people were shutting down and we were trying to react to that. So I think it's evolved. Our reaction to it has evolved over the last several months. But business goes on in the county, and really haven't seen much impact to our development community, certainly our business community. There's been a lot of impacts to restaurants and hotels and things like that.
You know, I'm sorry he left when he did, because obviously COVID and its impact has hurt the revenue streams of a lot of different businesses and to some extent governments as well. Have you been able to assess that? I mean, has there really been much of an impact that you can see?
It has been an impact. It has not been the negative impact that we feared initially. Our budget starts July 1, so we were in the middle of our budget when all this was happening, began. And we took a very conservative approach to where we controlled our spending, because we didn't know what impact it may have on our finances. So we really, of course, we didn't do any travel or training of that sort, but we didn't spend a lot of money in other ways because we thought there might be this tremendous downturn. But it turns out the economy, in spite of the virus, has continued to chug right along, and some of our revenues were off, but not nearly as much as we thought. So with our new budget, July 1, we're more back to normal now, where we are hopeful and confident that we'll still see revenues come in as we expected, and we're doing we budgeted just basically like we have over the last several years.
You know, when you think about entities that have really been clobbered by COVID, you think about Carowinds. I mean, that's certainly a big producer of hospitality tax revenue. They had to shut down the whole year, and I have no idea what their plans are for 2021, but until everybody gets vaccinated and we get this so-called herd immunity, I'm sure they're going to be somewhat impacted. And I gather you figured all that into your calculations?
We have, and we recognize that some of those revenues may be down. However, when we first started trying to adjust to COVID, we thought our hospitality tax would be way down. Obviously, people can't go sit in restaurants like they did, but the takeout industry has flourished. And as it turns out, with the loss of revenues from Carowinds, that has hit us. And that's, you know, they have hospitality tax there because they have food on site. And that was a big part of our hospitality tax. But we have not seen the downturn as a whole from our hospitality industry as we feared. So our revenues are much better than we anticipated because people still are getting takeout and paying the tax on those.
Right. One more question about revenue. When you take a look at the Pennies for Progress, which, of course, is all related to retail sales and what have you, and money from the state, the gasoline tax, has that been impacted as well?
We've seen a little drop-off there, but when you think of our Pennies program, those are funded in seven-year cycles. So we identify projects, we collect taxes for 7 years to fund those projects, and then we construct those projects. Because that's spaced over so many years and because those projects take so long, that a one-year downturn doesn't have a tremendous impact on the program. So it may mean that a project gets delayed a few months or a year, but we anticipate that revenue over the seven-year period will still be the same as what we had initially thought.
All right. Okay, so overall, it has, I mean, if you look at 2020 and try to be objective about it, besides the COVID, there's been a lot of good things that have happened here in York County. I mean, we're just talking about your new Field Day Park, which is up and operational. You have the, I can't remember all the names of all the things that are going on, but recreationally, you've got Riverbend, which is now starting to get, how would I say, come into its own. You've owned the property.
That's right. We've bought the property. We are and have done some very preliminary planning for the property. However, we've just finished up work with an ad hoc committee to provide some direction on what we need to do there now. And we are have just initiated a master planning effort that's going to take about 6 months. And it'll give us a lot more detail about how we're going to approach the development of that park. So there's much more information to come on that in the next few months.
Well, it's going to be quite something. I mean, it's 1,900 acres right there along the beautiful Catawba River. What is it, 4 miles of shoreline, something like that?
Yeah, I've heard anywhere from 4 to 6, but I think a little over 4 miles, depending on how you calculate it.
Well, the one thing that I'm sure, because I sat on a couple of these ad hoc committee meetings, it was very interesting. They got into a discussion just about bathrooms, right? What kind of bathrooms? And it was very clear from that committee group of people there, we want to make sure that this park is done right. We spent, $19 million on this. We don't want to go cheap on doing types of facilities that need to be out there.
Yeah, and I think that's a good approach to take. That's what we should be doing. And I think you have to remember that this is not something that's going to be built in a year or two. We may have a phase in a year or two and certainly get people onto the property. This is a development of this park will take decades. So I think if you compare it to, say, an Anne Springs Close Greenway that recently celebrated their 25th anniversary, you know how long it took to get all the pieces in place for that. So I think if you think in terms of 10 or 20 or even, really a whole generation of what may take place out there, then it's a little easier lift to get all that done.
I also thought it was interesting when one of the consultants was sitting there talking about dollars that are available from outside of York County, from various organizations that are trying to preserve green space, that could be brought into this project to do whatever, X, Y, and Z.
And we really haven't tapped into that yet because we've just really tried to get over purchasing the property and try to figure out where we're going to go. We've got some new council members coming on, and that's the process we're going to be over the next 6 months, is just trying to figure out exactly where we are going there.
Well, you had the money in the bank. You did an incredible deal. That's a whole other Straight Talk show about how they never knew who was buying the property, and you got a great price on it. And you could write them a check, and then you went out and you bonded that? Is that how you did it, to repay your reserve fund?
That's right. We are funding it through bonds that are repaid by the hospitality tax.
Right.
But we were able to use cash on hand in order to make the initial purchase, and now we have since financed a good portion of that property.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. All right, now for all of you newcomers here and those who haven't been here for a while, we want to remind you that, of course, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. The magical formula is in the white letters, and we all say it together at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Get a little more tone up there from these York County boys. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
These days, everybody wants peace of mind. Some people do yoga. Some meditate. Me? I use Ready Home Security from Comporium. Ready Home lets me monitor my house, even when I'm hundreds of miles away. With Ready Home, I can use my phone or tablet to set my alarm, turn on lights, lock the doors, even control my thermostat. Yoga's great, but knowing that everything's great at home, now that's peace of mind. That's Ready Home. To learn more about Ready Home, visit Comporium.com or call 888-403-2667.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Want it? Buy it with a credit card from Founders Federal Credit Union. With low rates, no annual fee, and various card options, you can't go wrong. And keeping up with your card activity has never been easier. Simply open Founders online or the Founders app. Visit foundersfcu.com/visa for more information and to apply for a Founders credit card today. Not a Founders member? Visit Relax. Join Founders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Terms and conditions apply. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. David Hudsmith, the York County manager, is with us today. And, you know, Kevin Madden left, but Mike Moore is here. It's interesting that the council just swore in two new members of the council, which had their first meeting on Monday night. And now you got another new member here on the administrative staff. And Matt, how long has Kevin Madden been here?
I think he's in about his fifth year.
About his fifth year.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of new things, a lot of new bodies and what have you. So what do you do with, let's take the easy one. What do you do when a new recruit by the name of Mike Moore, who is the assistant county manager, comes to town? How do you get him oriented?
Well, I think the thing to remember is I'm kind of fresh off of my orientation as well. That I was interim starting in, I think, July of last year and officially appointed in February. And then shortly after that, we hired Mike to take over Andy Merriman's role. So that's two-thirds of our management team has now changed over the last couple of years. But before we hired Mike, we had tried to restructure a little bit about who was over what department. And certainly Kevin Madden and his expertise in the finance area, it's easy to put all those departments under Kevin. And then I had some exposure with our engineering and public works departments and the parks and all that and planning. Some of those fit well under my purview, and some it seemed like were better to be grouped for whoever we were going to hire. And, of course, when we hired that person over that is now over public works, engineering, and our parks, we hired somebody that had expertise in that field, and that's Mike. And he's got a lot of management ability due to his 30 years in the Navy, and he had progressed through the ranks there, but also an engineering background. So I think that he's a really good fit for what we're trying to accomplish in that department. And then I've slid over to still be over the planning department, but also our emergency services, emergency management, fire, and all that. So it's a good way for me to have some supervision of those departments.
So who is your planning department manager right now?
Jonathan Buono was the assistant planning director, and he's fairly new. We have a couple other fairly new department heads, so it's really a transition period for us right now. But Jonathan's been with us for a year and a half, 2 years, and very capable, and is the new director since I departed, and he's going to do a great job there.
So is the county, I know when we talk, for instance, a lot of the people that I know that run restaurants are having constant issues, whether restaurants, retail, and finding people to work. I don't know where they've all disappeared to, but they've disappeared since all this virus broke out. Some of the businesses I know have actually had to close down for a few days because they didn't have enough people to run the shop. Is the county having that kind of problem in terms of filling vacancies?
We do. We have roughly 1,200 people. A lot of those are work in the public safety, work for the county sheriff, and that's a whole different issue, but I know he has issues filling those. And because we do so many different things, from road maintenance and water and sewer maintenance, you know, to the highly technical finance area and planning. So I think it really just depends on what sector you're talking about. But certainly some of the public works jobs are hard to keep full. Public safety job, same way. A little less transition in some of our other departments.
All right, so you got two brand new council members, Mr. Guffey and Mr.
Tom Audette.
They're brand new. Do they, or do you have some type of a formalized orientation for new members?
We've been working a little bit with each of them after they were elected, and just trying to bring them up to speed. We intend to do more as their schedule allows. And in addition to that, we've scheduled a council planning sessions retreat for February. I think they'll get a lot out of that as well. But there is a lot of opportunity for us to orient them on the things they'll be involved in. And to their credit, they're both fairly knowledgeable. They've been following county council since they basically, at least since they declared as candidates. So it's still a learning curve, I'm sure, but they're pretty knowledgeable in what we're doing.
Well, thank heavens, the voters years ago approved staggered 4-year terms, because it takes somebody brand new, I don't care how much they've been following it, it's going to take them at least a year to really get their hands around this thing.
I don't think people realize how much of a learning curve there is until they actually get elected to those positions.
No question about it.
I've heard that repeatedly from anybody that I've worked with.
So the planning session, you do what? It's a 2-day deal?
Yeah, we are setting it up as a 2-day deal, a Friday afternoon, Saturday morning, and still working out on exactly what the content of that's going to be. But that'll be addressing some staff priorities, but also council chair is going to put her stamp on that, as she should.
Right.
And so we're still working on that, what exactly is going to take place on those 2 days. But I'm really looking forward to it, because it's an opportunity for us to get in front of council and help them set their priorities for the year.
And I can tell you, having attended one or two of these things in the past, and I know they're open to the public, most people don't take advantage of that. But if you really wanted to get an insight as to what is happening in the world of being an elected official or somebody who works for the county. And the city of Rock Hill does this as well. I know Fort Mill does it as well. Sit in one of these sessions for a few hours, and it's amazing what you'll learn. And from these sessions, it's really an exchange of ideas in terms of what they would like to see and what you think would be an approach to that.
Right. Over the course of the year when we have our meetings, you know, those agendas are driven by ordinances and things that have to be passed, and they're all specific to that particular topic. This is the chance we get to get in front of them and have a lot of back and forth about what their priorities are, things they would like to accomplish, what their goals are. Also, a chance for us to have a little more time to educate them on what we feel like are the important items that we are currently dealing with, and a time for us to get some direction from them on how they want us to approach those.
Uh-huh.
So, again, I think it's a very worthwhile endeavor for us each year, and this will be the first one that I've led. So I'm very hopeful that we'll get a lot out of this two-day session.
So as we come to the end of this program and you look at 2021, what do you see as the biggest challenge that the county faces, or ones that you all are toying with right now in terms of how to deal with?
Well, as I probably would have said every year for the last 10 years I sit here, everybody wants to deal with the impacts of the growth on our community and the changes that brings. But continuing to do to recruit and economic development, get good industries into the area. There's going to be a lot of industry that is taking advantage of the Carolina Panthers practice facility here that's being constructed. So, and Rock Hill has a lot going on in their downtown that is going to bring industry. So I think trying to capitalize and bring quality investment to the county is one of our biggest challenges.
Do we have in the economic development toolbox everything we need to be as competitive as we need to be in this big old world of economic development? I mean, I know we got a great place to live. I got all that, which is a big part of it. But
yeah, I don't know that we can say we have everything that we need. We're always trying to address any deficiencies we may have. You know, we have challenges with our tax structure, but we are able to offer fee in lieu of taxes and other incentives to help mitigate that. But I think we are in a very good position to recruit quality industry.
And I know you hear this from time to time, but, you know, is there anything that the county could do for smaller businesses instead of these large ones that qualify for these state incentives? Is there anything that can be done at the local level?
Yeah, a lot of that is, I think, done at the municipal level, and then we are restricted by state law as to just how you qualify for those. So I think right now the minimum investment is at least a couple of million dollars, I think maybe $5 million.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So it depends on how you classify small.
Wow.
But we don't have the ability to offer tax incentives to businesses under that.
Right.
But we try to create a climate here in the county that helps them.
I can tell you this, if you need help, all you got to do is call the county and they'll be there to help you. David, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Sure thing.
Mike, nice to see you again as well. Kevin Madden was nice wherever you got to. Have a good day. And good luck in 2021. That'll be a very interesting year. Certainly is going to be a better year than 2020. Whew. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And once again, we want to tell everybody where we are. It's Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes. He didn't do too well the first time around, so we're going to let this Navy guy kind of lead us into cheer here as to how it's done. At the count of three, one, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Much better. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.